until the day of judgment. Ameen ya Rabbal Alameen. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. How is everyone today? Good, alhamdulillah. Nice. MashaAllah. I can see lots of people saying, good, great, alhamdulillah. This is what we need to hear from you, right? And alhamdulillah, thank you so much for asking, Khadija. I'm good as well, alhamdulillah. I thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for all his blessings, right? And I hope all of you thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for all of his blessings too. Alhamdulillah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us lots of blessings. If we try to count, I feel like the day would pass and we would not be able to count all the blessings. Alhamdulillah, the very first blessing I'm thankful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is that I'm alive. Alhamdulillah. Thank you so much, Hajra, for asking, and thank you so much for being. Those of all of you who are asking, Jazakumullah khairan kathira for asking. Nice gesture. I really, really appreciate that. Alhamdulillah. Yes, Hania, alhamdulillah. We are Muslims. Yes, this is also a great blessing that we are Muslims. Alhamdulillah. So do you feel happy about that? That you are a Muslim? Yes, we do. Yes, we do. Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah. And we feel lots and lots of excitement when we are given reminders. Right? We are given reminders through our classes, through our Quran classes, through our Islamic classes. Right? Alhamdulillah. So we need to feel blessed that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made us a human and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made us Muslim. What if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made me a parrot? Would I be able to talk like this? No. Right? What if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made me something else? Any other bird? Right? I would not be able to talk like this. Alhamdulillah. The best of the best creatures Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made all of us and gave us the chance to learn his deen, to learn Islam. Right? One of his best book, which is Quran. Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah. So moving on, I would like all of you to write your beautiful names and write present in front of your name. Okay? Because I know that you guys are waiting what our class brought us today. Alhamdulillah. I apologize. I have some issues in my throat today. Hopefully this is not going to be a big issue. Hopefully. Okay. So once you are finished with writing your name in and writing present, I would like you to be ready, right? When we write our name and when we write present, that means we are ready to learn. We are ready to focus. Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah. And we are ready to submit to the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And who is Allah? He is our Lord. He is our master. He is master of all the presidents in the world. Imagine if you were asked to go in front of the president of your country. How would you prepare yourself? You would wear the best clothing. You would just get dressed in the best manner and you would use all your manners, your best voice, right? And you would try to be one of the persons feeling privileged that I am the one who is going to talk to whom? To the president of the country. What if you're given a chance to submit in front of the president of all the presidents? And that is our Lord. That is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, right? That is our creator. Alhamdulillah. That is the one who created us. So I don't think so we should be agitated. We should be saying, this is a boring time, or this is something that's going to be not interesting to me. No, we should be sitting excitedly, saying, Alhamdulillah, Alhamdulillah, and waiting for the Quran to get started. Insha'Allah, Insha'Allah. Okay. Just a reminder, those of you who came late, please write your names and write present in front of your name if you have not done so. Okay? And we are about to start. We are about to start what? We are about to start our class that is going to be the Quran time. Very good, Hania. Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah. Very good. Write one. I want you to just type one. If you are ready to get started. If you guys are ready to get started. Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah. MashaAllah. I can see your excitement. Okay. Very good. Please do write. What do you think? Which surah are we going to be learning today? Because we are finished with Surah Al-Fatiha. The opening chapter of the Quran today. What surah are we going to be learning today? Al-Baqarah, Muhammad Rai, inshallah. Not today, but sometime in your life, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to give you a chance to learn that. That makes sense because Surah Al-Baqarah is right after Surah Al-Fatiha. But I said not today. Not Surah Al-Ikhlas, not Surah Al-Nas. Okay, let's see. Nasrat al-Falaq, Nasrat al-Naba. We will get to know, in a moment, insha'Allah. So I want you to hold on to your text and we need to get started with the very first thing. What do we say before we start? We say, A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. Whom we are asking the protection. We are asking the protection from shaytan and protection of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah Almighty. And what does أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم mean? It means I seek refuge with Allah from Shaytan. And who is Shaytan? Shaytan is the enemy, right? Are you guys ready to fight with Shaytan? Yes? Okay, let's say one more time. Okay, let's say it together this time. Okay, I want all of you to say it together. A'udhu billahi من الشيطان الرجيم. Very good, mashallah. Very good. Let's say the translation. I seek refuge with Allah from Shaytan, the cursed one. What do we say when we are done with ta'awuz? We move on towards tasmiyah. We move on towards tasmiya. And what is tasmiya? Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. We are about to start Allah's book, so we need to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's mercy so that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help us in understanding His book. In the name of Allah, the most gracious, the most merciful. Remember, we learned that whatever we do, whatever job we do, we need to start with the name of our Lord. And that is, let's say it together this time, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Okay, one more time. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. In the name of Allah, the most gracious, the most merciful. Okay, so those of you who are waiting patiently to know what surah are we going to learn with translation today is, inshallah, that is Surah Al-Lahab. Okay, Surah Al-Lahab or Surah Al-Masad. This surah is known as Al-Lahab or Al-Masad, inshallah. We shall be learning the translation of Surah Al-Lahab or Surah Al-Masad, inshallah. So, since we have finished saying Ta'awudh, we are done with Tasmiyah. One more time, we are going to say, A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Tabbat yada abi lahabin wa tab. Tabbat, perish, yada, hands. And remember, in Arabic, yad is one hand, and when we have the word yada, it means two hands. Abi, Abu, Lahab, Lahab, wa, and Tabbat, yada, abi, lahabin, wa tab. Tab, perish, means Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is mentioning the name of Abu Lahab. Abu Lahab is being mentioned in the surah, and Allah says, perish the two hands of Abu Lahab, an uncle of the Prophet, and perish he. So before we move on, I will just give you a few things about this surah. This surah basically talks about the punishment of two enemies. So one of the enemies we are going to be learning today, and one of the enemies we are going to be learning in next class, inshallah. Who is the enemy of Prophet Muhammad? Who was the enemy of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam? As the name says here, Abu Lahab. And Abu Lahab was also an uncle of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Like Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam had other uncles as well, like Abu Talib, Hamza, and Abu Lahab was also one of the uncles of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And he thought that he was powerful, and he was also one of the important personalities in Makkah. Remember, when Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam started the work of Islam, he started in Makkah. He started from Makkah. And Abu Lahab was one of the important people, one of the resourceful people in Makkah. His wife also strengthened him by doing evil actions, by being bad, or by showing ill treatment to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So what both of them used to do, both of them insulted Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They used bad words for Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Do you think, is it okay to use something bad for the Prophet? No, it is not acceptable. So both of them, Abu Lahab and his wife, used bad words. And they tried to harm Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in many ways. In whatever ways they tried, they wanted to harm Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So this surah basically focuses on those two people who wanted to harm not only Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but also other Muslims and Islam as well. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, do you think Allah was pleased with them? No way. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was not pleased with them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was displeased with their actions. Right? Because Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was sent as a mercy. Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was not sent so that people should treat him in an evil way or should treat him badly. Right? So inshallah, we'll continue with our second verse. Our second verse is مَا أَغْنَى عَنْهُ مَالُهُ وَمَا كَسَبَ. مَا not أَغْنَى benefit عَنْهُ him مَالُهُ his wealth wa and ma what كَسَبَ he earned. So whatever he earned is not going to benefit him. And when we are saying here him, whom are we talking to? Whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is referring to here? That his, whatever he earned is not going to benefit him. This is Abu Lahab. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is mentioning that his wealth and whatever he earns is not going to benefit him in any way. So when Allah says, Tabbat yada Abi Lahabin wa tab, meaning Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that two hands of Abu Lahab himself is going to be perished. And also, one of the things that would be maybe new for you, or if it's something that you already know, then good job. If not, then I would like you to write it down. That why did people call him Abu Lahab? Right? Because he had a red skin. Due to red skin, people called him Abu Lahab due to his skin complexion. And his real name was Abdul Uzza. Abdul Uzza, which means the servant of Uzza. And Uzza was one of the important idols of the Arabs during that time. Do you know that Arabs, they worshipped idols? Before Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they used to worship lots and lots of idols, and Uzza was one of those idols. And his name, Abu Lahab's real name is Abdul Uzza. So people used to call him Abu Lahab, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also mentioned him as Abu Lahab in Quran, meaning his hands. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that all his power, all his wealth, and all his strength is going to be destroyed. And Abu Lahab's power came from his wealth, which he earned through many trading activities. And his wealth and power was of no use to him because he was against the trust. He was against Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. he was against the teachings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Do you think that's something good? Should a person go against the teachings of Islam? No. No person should go, no Muslim should go against the teaching of Islam. But Abu Lahab did, right? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was very displeased by this person. Let's move on to our third verse where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions about Abu Lahab. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, سَيَصْلَى نَارًا ذَاتَ لَهَبٍ. سَيَصْلَى, he will be, نَارًا, fire, ذَاتَ in لَهَبٍ, burning flames, meaning he will be burnt in a fire of blazing flames. Astaghfirullah, may Allah save all of us from any of those sites of Jahannam, any of those sites of hell. Blazing flame is going to be in hell. That means Abu Lahab is going to be thrown in hell. Astaghfirullah. Let's all of us say it. Astaghfirullah. Okay? Astaghfirullah. Why is he going to be thrown into blazing flames? Because he was against Islam and he used to oppose the Islam. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to throw him into the flaming fire of hell on the day of judgment. And he is going to burn as a punishment. He will be punished. Astaghfirullah. Do you know what? Once, what happened, my finger got burnt when I accidentally put it on the stove. I did not remember that the stove was on and accidentally I burnt my finger. That was so painful, very painful. That time I realized that how painful the fire of hell is going to be and how painful it's going to be for those people who are displeasing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this world. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help us and make us from those who are going to be pleasing to Him. And inshallah, we are going to, if we make effort, what are we going to do? Inshallah, we will be happy for Jannah, inshallah. And how we are going to get Jannah? Is there a way we can go to Jannah? Is there a way we can go to Jannah? Yes, by following Islam, mashallah. By asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help us. Very good, mashallah, mashallah. Okay. So, let's see who is ready to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by saying the very first words of Surah Lahab. Okay, raise your hands. I'm just going to lower down your hands again. And I would like you to raise your hands one more time. Very good, Zuhair. I can see Zuhair hands. Okay, Zuhair. Very first word and its translation as well.
Tabbat yada abi lahab wa tab. Perishi and lahab abu hands perish.
Very good. Jazakallah khairan. MashaAllah Zuhair. Very good. I'm so impressed. MashaAllah. May Allah accept it from you. Hania, second word with the translation, please.
Hana. Wait 1 minute.
Can I see it?
Maliki Yawmid. Wait 1 minute.
Hana.
Ma aghna anhu maluhu wa ma kasab. his wealth and his children will not benefit him.
Very good. Very good. مَا أَغْنَى عَنْهُ مَالُهُ وَمَا كَسَبْ. His wealth and his children will not benefit him. MashaAllah. Farzan? Farzan, are you ready? Verse 3 with the translation?
Yeah.
Go ahead, Farzan.
سَيَصْلَى نَارًا ذَاتَ لَهَبٍ.
You will be very good. Translation, please.
You will be burnt fire in burning flames.
He will be burnt in a fire of blazing flames. MashaAllah. Very good. Very good. Good job. Rania? Verse number 1.
تبت يدا أبي لهب وتب. Perish the two hands of Abu Lahab and perish he.
Good, good job. Very good, Rania. Very good. Muhammad bin Amir, verse 2.
His wealth and his children will not benefit him.
Very good. Very good, MashaAllah. Very good. You did a very good job, MashaAllah, Muhammad bin Amir. Let's see who we have next. Is Muhammad Musab. Third verse. Verse number 3.
سيصلى نارا ذات لهب. He will be burnt in a fire of blazing flame.
Okay, MashaAllah. Jazakallah khairan. Very good. Very beautiful. Okay, so I can still see some people raising their hands. What I would like you to do, just tell me one thing that you learned from this surah. So the rest of you, let's see how many can give chance to. I want you to tell me one thing that you learned from this surah. What did you learn from this surah? Fuzail, are you ready?
Yes, ma'am.
What did you learn from this surah?
I learned to not
You learn not to what?
Not to be jealous.
Okay. Not to displease Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Right? So we are not going to be displeasing by any actions to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Umayza, what did you learn from this surah? Dear Umayza, what did you learn from this surah? Okay, seems like Umayza is away. Mustafa? Mustafa, what did you learn from this surah, my dear?
That we should not be greedy and jealous from others.
Very good. We should not be greedy and jealous from others. And also, we should not have any hatred towards others, like Abu Lahab had, right? He used to use his power and he used to be very, very angry towards Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And that was a displeasing act towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. MashaAllah. Jazakumullah khairan kaseera. Those of you, my wonderful students, those of you participated, and inshallah, those of you did not get a chance, I would say be patient and inshallah, maybe next time we can allow you to participate and be ready when the mic is there. So I want you to be ready so that we can allow many people to participate and say the translation. Okay, so now we are moving towards our next session. That's going to be our dua session. Okay, be ready with your notebooks to note down the beautiful dua, and let's see what dua Sister Fatima is going to teacher Fatima is going to teach us today.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي آمين السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته Dear kids, how are you all? I hope everyone is fine, enjoying holidays, alhamdulillah, and learning du'as. I love your recitation, mashallah, barakumullahu fikum, for all those who send their recitation. Alhamdulillah, keep it up, my dears. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put a lot of barakah. You send your recitation weekly and get Islam and then work on it. Ameen, inshallah. So, alhamdulillah, today we have one more special dua, inshallah. We will learn about it. It's something about food. Who likes to eat the food? I really like to eat the healthy food. Alhamdulillah, we are all blessed that we have healthy food. We should always be thankful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for having the food. You know, many people are there in the world who don't have food at all. They stay hungry for all the day and night, and their parents are working hard so that they can buy some food for their kids. So alhamdulillah, we are blessed that we are having food. What we have to do, we should not waste our food. Always we must clean our plate and finish nicely and do not throw it or waste the remaining food, okay? And we must have to thankful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by saying the dua after eating. Today, inshallah, we will learn the dua taught by Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, which is dua after eating. We start our meal with saying Bismillah, and when we finish, what we have to say is, I will say, you have to repeat after me, okay, inshallah. A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajeem, bismillahir rahmanir rahim. الحمد لله الذي أطعمنا One more time, say with me. الحمد لله الذي أطعمنا وسقانا وجعلنا مسلمين الحمد لله الذي أطعمنا وسقانا وجعلنا مسلمين. Now let's see the meaning of this dua. Alhamdu, all praises lillahi is for Allah alladhi who at'amana, who has fed us, wasaqana, and given us the drink. وَجَعَلَنَا and made us Muslimin, made us Muslim. Alhamdulillah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala given us food. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala given us water or any juice or milk to drink. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made us Muslim. Now let's see what we are saying in this dua. Alhamdu, all praises is for Allah. We are thankful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for each and everything we are getting. Alhamdulillah, we are so blessed that we are having food, we are having water to drink. Alhamdulillah, we must have to thankful by saying Alhamdu lillahi allazi, who is Allah, the one who at'amana, who fed us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala fed us. How we fed us? By making lots of different food, by giving us fruits, the vegetables, and our mom cooked food for us. Having mom is also a big blessing. So alhamdulillah, so many blessings for us. We must thankful by saying at'amana. Then on the next we are saying wasaqana, and he given us to drink. Not only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala given us food, but he knows that we may sometimes become thirsty in between eating the food. So he also given us the water, or maybe a milk or a healthy juice, fruit juice. So alhamdulillah, we are thankful for both the things. And as the last, we are thankful for the biggest thing, which is that alhamdulillah, we are Muslims. The biggest, biggest blessing ever is to be a Muslim. Alhamdulillah, we are born Muslims. Our parents are Muslims. Siblings, alhamdulillah, all relatives are Muslims. It's the biggest blessing from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that he made us Muslims. We know who is Allah. We know our Prophet. We have the beautiful book, Quran. So being a Muslim is the biggest blessing. So basically, in this dua, we are thanking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for three basic things. Number one, for the food. The number two is for the drink we have. And the number three is being a Muslim. One more thing we can understand from this dua is we are eating, alhamdulillah, it's a blessing. We are drinking, alhamdulillah, it's a big more blessing. We are Muslims, it's the third blessing. Now, the energy we are getting from the food must have to be spent in doing good deeds. After eating the food, we get a lot of energy, alhamdulillah. So now, what our duty is to spend our time, our energy, we should consume our body in good deeds by helping each other, by loving each other, by showing good manners. Be nice to your parents, obey your elders. You must be thankful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Do all your prayers as much as you can. And alhamdulillah, we are all getting ready for a beautiful month, Ramadan, which is coming. So inshallah, now what we have to do is to recite this dua nicely, memorize this dua accurately, understand its meaning. Alhamdulillah, I know you already done, but just repeat it so that you can have more practice. And then read it right after a meal or right after a snack your husband, so that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala be pleased with us. Ameen. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala love to listen our du'as, you know, especially the kids one. Dua is our conversation with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When we talk to Allah, he really gets pleased. He loves us. He wants that his creator, like human being, talk to him. We ask Allah, we thank Allah, so that we can get the rida. Rida means the happiness. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gets pleased with us. So inshallah, we will recite this dua right after a meal or right after a snack. Even after the drinking water, you can recite this dua. You can say alhamdulillah and then all of the dua after that. So I will recite, I will read it. You have to repeat last time one after me. Inshallah. الحمد لله الذي أطعمنا وسقانا وجعلنا مسلمين. In one stretch. الحمد لله الذي أطعمنا وسقانا وجعلنا مسلمين. All praise is for Allah who has fed us and given us drink and made us Muslims. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen, we have done with our dua. Do remember to read it right after MBA, memorize it, practice it. You can also share with your mom, your friends.
MashaAllah, you guys were listening to such a beautiful voice and such a beautiful dua. Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah. Okay, type one, how many of you already know this dua? I know you guys are waiting for the story session, but before that, we have one thing and then we can move on. Okay, there are lots of one and very few two. So inshallah, those of you who have already memorized the dua, this time you would be memorizing accurately with the translation, inshallah. And make it a habit that whenever you eat, whenever you drink, then say this dua. Okay? Why do we need to say the dua? Because we need to save ourselves from our enemy. Who is the enemy? Enemy is Shaytan. Right? And today, let's learn more about the enemy. And what does this enemy do? And why is it so important to save ourselves from this enemy? Right? In order to save ourselves from this enemy, we need to have tricks. Because Shaytan has tricks too. So, let me tell you a quick thing. That before creating human being, our Lord, our Rabb, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created jinns and angels. And angels were created from nur, light, and jinns. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created jinns from fire. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decided to create human beings. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when He asked angels and He informed them that I'm going to be creating human beings and I would like you to bow down to Adam alayhi salam. At that moment, Shaytan, the Iblis, right, he refused to do so. And why did he refuse to do so? Because he said that I am better. He thought that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to create Adam alayhi salam that's going to be made from clay, whereas he was created from fire. And he thought that fire can destroy the clay. So he said, I am better. Why should I bow down? Right? So he became arrogant. And one thing to note here is, you might be thinking that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asked angels, what was the Shaytan doing there? Shaytan was so much devoted, he used to say lots of prayers to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala like angels did. He used to listen to Allah's commands. But the moment when he heard that Allah is creating human beings, he became arrogant. He thought that he was better than the humans. So he rejected what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had asked him to do. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created Adam alayhi salam. And this tricky guy, this enemy, misguided Adam alayhi salam. What he did was, he asked Adam alayhi salam to eat from the impermissible food, although there was permissible food in Jannah. So Shaitan went to Jannah and convinced Adam alayhi salam to eat the forbidden fruit. Whereas Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has asked Adam alayhi salam to stay away from the forbidden fruit, and this Shaitan, he whispered. He tried his best. Do you know what Shaitan does? Sometimes Shaitan brings thoughts to our minds and we think, oh, where does that thought come from? Oh, this might be me, myself. No, that bad thought or evil thought comes from Shaitan. Why? Because Shaitan is the enemy and Shaitan is the rejected one. So he has the power to convince us to do something bad. But we have the choice. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given human beings the choice to choose bad or good. So as Muslims, what do you think we need to choose? Should we choose something bad or good? What do you think we need to choose? Good. Yes, mashallah. Yes, we need to choose something good. That's going to be benefit us, that's going to be benefiting our families and Islam as well. So when Shaytan misguided Adam alayhi salam and his wife, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded Adam alayhi salam to leave Jannah. And also Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asked Shaytan to leave. But at that moment, you know, this tricky guy, what he asked Allah? He asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to allow him or give him some time until the day of judgment. And Allah granted him time. Allah said, okay, take your time. And Allah also said, it is mentioned in Quran, that Allah also said that the righteous people are not going to follow you, but only the disbelievers are going to be following you. So, if sometimes we think that there is an evil thought coming into our head, what do you think that evil thought is coming from? What do you think that evil thought is coming from? Please write it down in the chat that if you have some evil thought coming in your head, where is that evil thought coming from? That is coming from Shaitan, the enemy, the enemy. Yes, very good. All of you are very smart. You know that, mashallah. And you know what? Shaitan can be a male or a female. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned in Quran that everything he made is impaired by Allah. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in Quran that of everything we have created impairs. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created jinn in male and female. And shaitan can be from jinn and also from human beings. You might be wondering that how shaitan can be from jinns and human beings. You might understand that shaitan might be from jinns, but how come from human beings? So any person who is trying to please Shaitan is among him. It's just like a Shaitan. Okay? Any person who is doing evil deeds, evil actions is from him. For example, anyone who is doing something against Islam, something against that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is displeased with, is Shaitan. Right? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned in several verses in the Quran that, and the jinn we created from the smokeless flame of fire, that Allah has created the jinn, Shaitan, from fire. And you know what? Shaitan can see us, but we cannot see Shaitan. This is something that we need to worry about. So in order to save ourselves from shaitan, we need to protect ourselves from whatever it does. And in a moment, we will be looking into ways what does the shaitan do and how we can protect ourselves. So some of the things that shaitan does is it misguides others, it takes them away from the truth, or it makes or encourages others to be involved in evil activities, or it invites towards to see something, dirty things. For example, someone might be listening to the music or watching cartoons that has lots of music in it. And while listening to the music, maybe the child might think, okay, let's move the body as well. Do you think that is something good? Do you think that is something good? No, that is not. Right? That is not. Like dancing, any act or music, any act that makes shaitan happy. Okay? One more example might be, you get a candy from your neighbor and you are so excited. You come to your mom and say, Mom, I got a candy from my neighbor. And your mom says, okay, let's see if the ingredients are good or not. And you might say, oh no, I just want to eat it. Do you think that's something good? No, no, that is not. We need to check what are we eating. Okay, just like Shaitan convinced Adam alayhi salam to eat something that was forbidden, we need to stay away from what is haram, whatever it is haram. So this is a type of Shaitan's trap, that he traps others sometimes by saying them that, okay, let's do this right away. Or sometimes Shaitan would say, let's waste time. Okay? And you might sit in front of a game thing and you might be playing with the game for hours and hours, maybe 1 hour, 2 hours, 3 hours, and then parents say, okay, let's shut down the computer now. And you might say, no, no, I don't want to shut down the computer. No way, I want to continue my game. Right? And if you want to continue your game and you think, okay, I'm doing something good, is that good? No. Why? Because spending lots of time and the game is giving us physical harm as well. Because we are not moving, we are not being active, and that is not good at all. Right? So Shaitan has a bag of tricks. Lots and lots of tricks. Whereas we, and especially we as Muslims, we are responsible, or we should be responsible for our choices. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us the choice, we need to use the best possible choices, and that's following Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And some more tricks of shaitan are the whispers, evil thoughts about others, invites towards laziness, and sometimes shaitan would say, okay, it's the Quran time, let's play it and delay and recite Quran maybe later on, let's play first. That's not a good thing. And again, that's the whisper of shaitan to delay our task. And how do we protect ourselves? That's the main thing. How can we protect ourselves? The very first thing that we do, we practice, is tawud. Okay, let's say it together. I want all of you to say it together. Tawud. A'udhu billahi min ash-shaytanir rajim. Okay, all of you say it together, nice and loud. A'udhu billahi min ash-shaytanir rajim. You know what happens? When we say ta'awud, shaitan cries, weeps a lot, shaitan cries a lot, and shaitan is not happy. And then we say the du'as, du'a of entering the home, du'a of eating food, du'a of entering the washroom. These du'as are taught by Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. and also saying Ayat al-Kursi, Surah al-Falaq, and Surah al-Nas. If you do not know any of these, saying A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim also works. If you only know Tawud, that's also something that works against shaytan. Let me share a quick story about a little boy. When he enters the home, he does not say any of the du'as. Okay, so we need to say the du'a when we enter a home, when we are coming from outside, when we were playing outside and we entered a home, we need to say the du'a. But this boy named Mahmoud, he did not say the du'a. And Shaitan came along with him. And Shaitan was very happy. Shaitan said, oh, wonderful. I am in this house. This is such a wonderful place to live. And then Mahmoud does not wash his hand and just start eating without saying the du'a. And now Shaitan becomes very happy and says, such a wonderful place. I got place to live and I got place to eat. Wonderful, wonderful. And Shaitan tries to invite more of his friends. Do you think Mahmoud did good things? Do you agree with what Mahmoud did? No. No, I'm not happy with my friend Mahmoud. I'm not happy. Okay, who's going to tell me what does the thing that Mahmoud needs to follow? Who's going to raise your hand? I want one person to tell. Let's see who's going to raise hand. And I want one person. Okay, Rayan. Ryan, can you tell me what Mahmoud needs to do?
He should put when he comes back from outside, he should say the dua for coming inside, and when he wants to eat his food, he should wash his hand, and then he should say the dua and follow Allah.
Yes, very good, mashallah. Jazakallah khairan kathira, mashallah. Very good, Rayan. Alhamdulillah, my friend, you had very good choice. And alhamdulillah, this is what a Muslim needs to do. Inshallah, next time, whatever we do, we are going to be starting with saying A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim, asking Allah to help us and protect us from the enemy, and asking Allah from his name, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, so that Allah put barakah in that thing. Insha'Allah. Okay, alhamdulillah. So this was a little bit introduction about the enemy. In order to protect ourselves, we needed to know what this enemy does. And we have, Shaitan has the bag of tricks and we have the bag of du'as. Okay, so every time keep the bag of du'as with you. Okay, inshallah. So let's move on to our story time. I hope you guys are excited. Like I saw your text that you guys are very, very impatiently waiting for the story time. So let's see what Sister Amina has for us for a story, inshallah.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي رب زدني علما اللهم فقهنا في الدين. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. How are all my lovely friends? Is everyone doing okay? Alhamdulillah. So today, we'll be learning about the story of Prophet Musa alayhi salam. Let's dive right into the story. So long, long ago, in Egypt, magicians
called Pharaoh. Pharaoh was the ruler of Egypt at that time. And magicians told him that the Israelites will end your rule. So Pharaoh commanded, he told everyone to murder all baby boys. So whenever a boy was born, they were commanded to murder them. Because Pharaoh was evil and he was cruel. And during this time, Musa alayhi salam was born. When Musa was born, he was supposed to be killed along with the others. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had a plan for Musa. He ordered Musa's mother to place Musa in a wooden chest in the Nile River and allow that chest to float away. The mother did what she was told, but she was very sad. She was sad that she would never see Musa ever again. That's so sad. However, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala promised to her that Musa alayhi salam would return to her one day and that he would be a prophet. So, as the crate floated away, Musa's sister watched it. And slowly, it floated into a small stream. The Pharaoh's wife, she saw that chest. And she ordered her servants to go pick it up. When they picked it up, they looked inside and they saw a little baby boy. So the wife, she picked up the baby and she showed it to the Pharaoh. Look, she said, here is a joy for the eye to behold. Please don't kill him. Instead, we can adopt him as a son for ourselves. Reluctantly, the Pharaoh agreed with her, and they decided to keep the baby. So, doing this way, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala spared Musa alayhi salam from the death that was supposed to happen to him. Now, in the meantime, when Musa was at the palace, his mom, she was very sad. She was very sad for a baby boy. So, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made a plan to reunite the son and the mother. Musa alayhi salam's mother was chosen to give him milk. And he grew up strong and wise. So this way, Musa alayhi salam's mother got to see her son every day. Musa grew up to be big and strong. And one day, he saw an Egyptian person fighting with an Israeli person. The poor Israeli person asked Musa to help him. So Musa steps forward and he hit the Egyptian man with such a powerful blow that the guy died. And after seeing what he had done, a cold sweat broke out on Musa's forehead. He said to himself, this is the evil work of Shaytan. He is an enemy who clearly misleads. Musa knew it was a sin to kill anyone. So he knelt on the ground and he prayed to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He said, oh my Lord, I have indeed wronged my soul. Do you forgive me? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the most merciful. And out of his mercy, he forgave Musa. Musa then vowed never to help those that sin and to be in Allah's service for the rest of his life. Now, thinking that the Egyptian chief would kill him, Musa alayhi salam fled to Madian, which is an Arabian land. So Musa alayhi salam, he fled away. And many years later, he had a new family. And he decided to travel with that family. He was very happy with his life, and he had forgotten his troubles in Egypt. While he and his family were traveling, they saw a small fire off in the distance. And since it was very cold, he went off to get a burning log from that fire to warm up his family. As he approached the fire, he noticed something very strange. The fire was only in one bush, and it didn't spread to any other bushes or trees. At the same time, the bush didn't burn up and become ashes. It was just there burning. Then Musa alayhi salam heard a voice say, "Oh Musa, I am your Lord." Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told Musa that he was to be a prophet, and his mission was to go to the Pharaoh of Egypt and tell him that there was no God but Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave Musa alayhi salam two miracles. He gave him a shining hand and a stick that could turn into a snake. Musa alayhi salam asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for clear speech and for his brother Harun to be made a prophet. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala listened to him. Now, Musa alayhi salam, he traveled to Egypt, and he went to Pharaoh. He told Pharaoh to free the Israelites and to believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. However, Pharaoh mocked that Musa alayhi salam was a killer, and that Musa alayhi salam was lying. Pharaoh refused to listen because he thought of himself as a god. He looked around him and he saw the riches he had, and he was sure that there was no one more powerful than he was. Pharaoh joked that he couldn't see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala even on top of Haman's high tower. And Pharaoh, he refused to believe Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Pharaoh asked Musa to show a sign from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the prophet Musa, he threw down his staff, and it turned into a snake, and it began to move and flutter. And Pharaoh got scared, but he tried very hard to not show it. "Ha," said the Pharaoh in a prideful way, "I have sorcerers who can match your magic." So Pharaoh, he brought in his sorcerers, his magicians. And the magicians, they did their best magic. They threw down their staffs and they turned to snakes, but they were all eaten by Musa alayhi salam's rod. Seeing the miracle of Musa alayhi salam, all the magicians, they became believers. And Pharaoh got very angry. He said he killed them since he thought he was God. Even after this, Pharaoh refused to believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent plagues to punish Fir'aun because he didn't believe in Allah's mercies. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent famine and flood, frogs, blood, locusts, mice, and many other curses to Fir'aun. But he still refused to believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Even Fir'aun's wife, his own wife, Asiya, she believed in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And she told him to also listen to Allah's plan. But Fir'aun still refused to believe. Finally, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told Musa to take the people out of Egypt at night. They left at night. However, they began to be chased by Fir'aun's army until they came to the Red Sea. Now, because the sea was in front of them, they couldn't go any further. But by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's power, Musa alayhi salam split the sea in two, and the believers crossed easily. However, when Fir'aun was passing behind them, the sea closed on top of him, and he drowned with his army. And he faced death, and when he was dying, he said, "Now I have belief." But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not accept him. And Fir'aun, he suffers in hellfire without relief. Now, as the Prophet Musa and the people he fled Egypt with, there were 12 tribes. And those 12 tribes, they were sent water, food, and clouds from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave them many, many, many bounties. However, the Israelites, they started to complain. They were ungrateful. And they started to complain that they wanted to go back to Egypt. Now, during this time, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded Musa to go to the top of Mount Sinai so he could give Musa the tablets. The tablets were stone slabs that had special rules that the Israelites had to follow. And when Prophet Musa went up to that mountain, he asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for a sign. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told Musa that if a nearby mountain could withstand the full glory of Allah, then Musa may look upon him. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala showed his glory to the mountain, and the earth began shaking, and there was a shining light. And within a few seconds, the mountain crumbled to dust, and Musa fell backward. When Musa regained consciousness, he prayed to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then gave Musa the tablets to take back to the Israelites. After 40 days, when Musa alayhi salam came down, he saw the Israelites bowing down to a golden cow. Musa alayhi salam, he burnt that cow and he said, "Repent and die." However, the Israelites, they refused to believe. They disobeyed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's command. And so, they were left to wander in the wilderness on a 40-year ban. Astaghfirullah. And soon after, Harun alayhi salam and Musa alayhi salam, they both died. Now, there's one very important lesson that we can learn from this story. We can learn that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He can do anything. He can do so many miracles. And that when we believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we will surely be rewarded and guided. So we should never, ever lose hope in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and always do things that please Him. Insha'Allah. Can we all do that? I think we can. So inshallah, we should make it our goal to always do things that please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Insha'Allah. So, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wow, wonderful. Such an amazing story was this. Alhamdulillah, I learned a lot from this story. Alhamdulillah. So, what did you guys learn? I was so amazed by the lesson from the story of Prophet Musa alayhi salam. See, even the prophets were tested. And if someone has some issues, for example, nowadays, if there is COVID-19 outside and we are asked not to leave our homes, and when we are staying at home, we should not say that such a boring thing or we are getting bored. A Muslim never gets bored at home. Alhamdulillah, we have lots to do. We have the Quran to understand. We have the Hadith to understand. So we have lots to do. Alhamdulillah. Okay. So if you guys have any questions, you can ask. Let me go over your homework right now. What is going to be your homework? You can see on the screen that you need to learn the translation of Surah Al-Lahab. And I want you to learn the dua, the beautiful dua the teacher has taught you. And also, let's work together to defeat the shaitan, the enemy. Okay, so we all need to work very hard in order to defeat our enemy. Inshallah, let's do it. Okay, Muhammad, I think whoever had the question, please raise your hand and I'm going to be allowing you to ask the question very quickly since we are finished by the time of our class. So if you have the question, I feel like Muhammad had the question. Or you know what? You can just write it down in the chat. And inshallah, I can write it down, the answer in the chat as well. Okay? Okay. So I'm just going to be saying the dua. And this is the end of the class. Since I do not see the student who asked the question in the beginning, I'm going to be just waiting for your chat. And maybe after 2-3 minutes, after the class, we can leave the room open. If you have any question, you can, okay, Hajra, you have the question. Okay, Hajra, go ahead. I'm just going to be, raise your hand, Hajra. Hajra, you can raise your hand. I'm quickly going to give you the mic so that you can ask the question. I do not see your hand raised, Hajra. Okay, so Hajra, my dear, you can just write the question here. Okay, please go ahead and write the question. All of you who have the question, write it down here. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Rabbana taqabbal minna innaka antas samiul alim wa tub alayna innaka antat tawwabur rahim. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik nashhadu an la ilaha illa ant nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk. Allah, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept all the efforts and all praise and thanks for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And may the blessing and peace of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala be on Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his companions abundantly until the day of judgment. جزاكم الله خيرا كثيرا. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.
You are my soul.